Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So today, again, was an interesting day. And, you know, during the break, I was looking at our YouTube channel. And if you don't subscribe, you should. You know, the Rick Smith Show on YouTube. But, you know, the photo that we've got on the homepage is a rally from Richmond that we went to for the Fight for 15 campaign. And, you know, I remember going to Richmond, which was a really great city. The people I met there were fantastic. And look, you know, the idea of fighting for something that moves us forward to me is so important. And yet you look at what happened to that city today, 20,000 people, most of them, you know, carrying guns around. And again, I'm still not getting the reason why. I'm still not getting the fascination why. Anyway, the tweet that caught my attention today was from Cedric the Humorist. He said, my fellow military veterans can confirm that 99% of the military would have said something very, very unkind directly to anyone in uniform who played dress up to look like Rambo or a toy army guy. They're morons and who wouldn't last a day under military discipline. And that's an interesting frame. And what I've heard from a lot of military folks over the years, that you get these people who run around in the woods and play warrior on the weekends, not making it in the real army. And here to share some thoughts on the day's events there in Richmond, I've asked our good friend Red T. Raccoon to come give us some thoughts. Red, thanks for taking time for us.
No, thanks for having me.
So you're somebody that I respect, disabled veteran, veteran advocate. I look at this and I ask, you know, what do you think when you see these guys all dressed up in camo and you know running around like they're G.I. Joe?
Well, first, I can't stand it. It gives, and so actually, there's a deeper issue with them running around the street the way that they look. And excuse me right off the bat, I got a little sick today for actually going out to my own march to go and honor Reverend King today. But so with the militarization of our police, some of those uniforms look very close to some of the SWAT and some of the other groups that actually may be real police. So first, it drives me absolutely insane when people are walking around with that. Because what will happen, too, is it was a peaceful protest, march, whatever you would call it, circus, sideshow. But if it went wrong, you would not know who is who in that crowd. That could have turned into one of the worst situations that we could have imagined in the city of Richmond, a beautiful city that I live actually close to. I was there last week, and it's a beautiful place. Love it. And it really is sad that this is what our American cities are becoming. And, you know, I've been thinking about it all day, too. And, you know, today's a good day to reflect on things. And, I mean, first having this happen on, you know, Martin Luther King Day, given the fact that his life was taken by a firearm. And there's just a little bit to that just, you know, bothers me. But then I went out into Raleigh today, and we had one of the largest parades, and it was children. There was no school today, so all the children are there. There was bands. There were people laughing, smiling. That's what I like to see. And you can go, and if you want to see that video, it's on the top of my feed, and I'm going to keep it up there for a little bit, because that's what we should be doing. We should all be coming together on days like this especially and bridging that divide. And I know everyone has kind of the reflections of Dr. King and what kind of stands out to them. One moment that really stands out to me is in 1964, he went to the Berlin Wall, and he actually went and gave a sermon on both sides of the wall. And this is actually after Kennedy was killed. And he talked about, you know, walls that divide us and how we should come together. And, you know, walls are a theme that we have in this country, obviously, down at the border. But there's these walls between us just on a day-to-day basis. And I think today is like a perfect example of that, where we have people that are thinking completely different and outside the norm as far as what our overall principles are within this country. And that's the safety of our citizens.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is they're taking this to such an extreme, they're jeopardizing the safety of just everyday people.
And I think they're, you know, I gotta hope that they're outside of the mainstream and that the average American's looking at this and going, my goodness, you know, this is just outrageous. Because look, I think we've always had these, you know, these weekend warrior kind of, you know, Rambo wannabes who run around in the woods. I know here in Pennsylvania, there are a lot of militia groups, you know, hiding up in the woods. And the same thing with, you go to Michigan or, you know, parts of Ohio, where you've got these groups that, you know, they, you know, they're their own little groups, but they've always been with us. They've never been this emboldened to come out of the woodwork. We've always had, you know, the white supremacist groups and the neo-Nazis, and we've always had them around. They've always been there. They've always been hiding in the woodwork. It's just now they feel completely emboldened to come out and show themselves in public, which, look, I'm all in favor of. I said it today. By all means, come on out. You know, let the cockroaches come out of the walls. We need to know who most of them are.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of scary to me on another frame that, you know, you had 20,000 people walking around with weapons in a major U.S. city today, where if things would have gone wrong, there's no law enforcement gonna do anything to put the genie back in the bottle.
No. That was and that's, you touched on so many great points in there, Rick. So first off, that was a show of force. That was a, you know, group that wanted to show that their numbers are very strong. They picked an obscure, I don't even want to call it a holiday, but an obscure event that in theory was only supposed to last an hour long, to go and just show up. Everybody show up and let's show them our numbers. Let's see, you know, let's show them how many of us are out there. Those guys don't scare me compared to the people that refuse to show them their faces and still are kind of hiding in the darkness. And same thing with where I live in North Carolina. You go out onto those mountains, believe me, those people are not on Twitter. Those people, and I highly doubt they even have internet connection. And they're the ones that it's not prepping, they're doing at this point. And those are the ones, when we go and kind of see these images, it moves the bar. And so we always talk about this on the left, you know, moving the bar further and further left. What's happening with them is it's not even moving it further and further right. It's moving it further and further towards like anarchy. And the common theme that I've, you know, tried to kind of engage with these people at some level, just to try to understand what's going on. Usually they have a situation where they felt wronged in life or their life isn't going the way that they want it to go. And instead of trying to pick themselves up, they've looked at it a different way. They want everyone starting at ground zero. They want everyone just down as low as possible. And they think, okay, my skills, my talents based off of whatever imaginary La La Land, G.I. Joe fantasy I've given myself is going to give me a leg up over all these other people. I mean, because you'll talk about it. I mean, they fantasize about the other world. I mean, they're prepping for something that they've
done. Oh, no. You know, I tell the story all the time. You know, when I first moved to Pennsylvania, there was a guy in the lunchroom who was telling what I can only likened to the most X-rated version of killing somebody that I've ever heard. And I mean, he talked about he was going to pull out his big gun and he was going to stick it to him. And it was the most pornographic description that I've heard. And I, when he was done, I looked at the guy, I go, you are absolutely the last person on this planet who should have a gun.
Yeah.
And you know, there are those people out there.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, the best soldiers in the world never wanted to fire their gun. Nobody wants to go and do that. In the entire time that I was in Iraq and I was on combat missions, we've engaged enemies, we've been under fire. And I was a medic, so in theory, I shouldn't even be firing a gun. I've only fired my weapon once. It's not something that happens. There's obviously what they're doing too, again, is show of force. And a lot of them too are kind of showing off what they have. You know, if gun culture is very big around here in North Carolina. I go to a family member's house. They always want to show off what they have. Oh, look what I just got. Look at this new piece I put on it. I'm going to trick out my AR-15 and go and, you know, show the whole neighborhood how cool it looks. You know, I'm Rambo. This was almost kind of like a nerd convention for them a little bit. I saw a lot of that going down. I'm kind of amazed at some of the things too. I'm like, why are you? It's all show. It's like, you know, cosplay for grown-ups, I guess, that just play Call of Duty too much. But again, there is a very dangerous side. And what we've seen as far as, we don't have to look very far back. There was a period of time not too long ago, I think it was maybe a year ago, so hard to tell nowadays, someone was sending a mailbox.
Right.
To, you know,
that the guy living down by the river in his van.
Yeah, exactly. Down by the river in the van, that was in North Carolina, out in the mountains. There was another person that went and put a bomb at the Asheville Airport out in the mountains. These survivalists that have kind of cut off themselves from both the world and reality. And again, it's a scary thing. But, I would rather go and focus on what we should be. And if they wanted to really go and make change and they really wanted to go and do things the right way, they would be engaging the other side across the table and talking about what we can do in order to go and have a solution that works for everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm the same person. So I know people that own guns. I know people that are perfectly fine, that have their one pistol for home security that gets locked away perfectly fine. There's no issues. Nobody really wants to go and take away your guns, especially in Virginia. Let's be very clear about this. No one is stripping people of their guns in Virginia. If you think that's ever going to be the case, I would love for you to go and pass whatever you're smoking, because that's not going to happen. Same in North Carolina either.
No, so it's not. I mean, it's part of our culture. And look, what I was thinking about today, and I'm still trying to get my head around, is, when I was a kid growing up, I knew people who had guns. There was a shotgun in the corner, for home protection, and it was in the corner. Everyone knew it was in it, and it wasn't a thing. I'm still trying to figure out when this whole thing became this thing, to where now it's you've got people who are marching in the streets with long guns. In a military type exercise of show of force. I mean, I'm sure, Donald Trump was all tingly in the panties today because he was getting his somewhat fall military parade.
Yeah. If you really kind of want to figure out what it is, you go back, it's genius marketing to the masculinity that men wanted back in the 80s and the 90s when it came to these things. And then when it comes to actual money itself, everyone always talks about the gun manufacturers when it comes to money. It's the aftermarket items that they put on these things. That's where the money is. And so that's why the AR-15 is so popular, is because it has a rail system. And you can put your laser pointer on it, and you can put your scope on it, and you can go and put your holographic sight on it, and then you can put a flashlight on it. All of that ends up costing more than the rifle itself. And all those companies that go and touch that on the peripheral versus, your Smith & Wesson or your big companies, there's a huge, huge, huge amount of cash in those areas. And all of these geeks go and start freaking out these things, and they'll put a different stock on it for every day of the week. Or I'm going to go and put camouflage that looks like a stormtrooper. There's so much money involved in this market that it's I hate to say this, it's like almost too big to fail. And they're trying to go and make sure that that is the case. And, again, it strokes the egos of people that have nothing else in life to go and focus on than an inanimate object. There's so much more to life than this. And again, their rifle ends up being more than the trailer that they live in.
And that's the weird thing to me, because I actually know people who, that frame, they've spent so much money on guns that, you go, I don't get it, but okay, you should have the right, if you're a law-abiding citizen and you're not causing anybody any trouble, I don't necessarily have a problem with people having guns. But this whole argument that we can't have any gun control is just ludicrous, because we already have gun control. It's just a matter of where do we draw the line and what, the average citizen can walk around with. And look, these AR-15s, they look like military weapons. I believe they can be converted into fully automatic if you had the right hardware. Is that something you want the average everyday person walking around the streets with?
Yeah, no. And let's just make it super clear. The fully automatic thing, nobody. And you can ask every single soldier that ever picked up a rifle and ever went to a range and was trained at any single point. No one ever fires on fully automatic. The same thing that I can go and pick up at the store is the same thing I would be using out in the military. One shot, one kill. That's why we say it. Like, it's not, you know, pull the trigger and hope for the best. That's what other militaries do. So, like, there is no separation between them. It's the speed of them being able to go and load those magazines so quickly and being able to go and fire, you know, as fast as they can go and pull the trigger. And you've seen these kids nowadays playing video games, like, they can pull the trigger so fast, it's unbelievable.
But, so let me ask you this then, since you brought up the video games. Because I know there's somebody out there going, see, we got all these violent video games. That's the reason. It's not the guns. It's not the guns, Red. It's the video games.
No, and like, so, you know what, actually, so this is, I'm a little bit on both sides of this as far as the video games are concerned. When it comes to first-person shooters, where you're training your mind for hours and hours and hours on end, because I've seen it with my own eyes. Like, my brother was one of them. He would sit there and play it for hours. And he had a military background. He was doing military strategies and kind of breaching certain areas with other people and planning things strategically and running through dry runs when they were going to go and be on a certain level or a certain map. That's sick. And versus someone who just picks up a rifle and doesn't know the difference between one versus another. Like, there's an extent as far as how, what quality these games have become. To the point where, I mean, we used simulators that were worse than video games, actually, when we were in the military. We used to joke about it. Be like, hey, why don't you just go and give us a video game?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that argument, it's really kind of like, you know, it was thrown around a lot before. And I know that, like, what was it, Grand Theft Auto was the one that, you know, going and committing crimes and it was going to go and make children go and do that. Not necessarily like that. What I think is it's giving people the opportunity to go and gain skills they probably shouldn't be learning in the first place, especially not knowing how powerful those skills can be. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a very slight connection there.
Yeah, I've always said that, you know, if you're dim, and you've got some mental issues, probably not the best thing for you. But for the vast majority of people, I don't know that it harms. I don't know that it harms. I think most people can understand that there's a real life and there's not.
Yeah, and I mean, we just have a huge population too. I mean, there's going to be a certain population that can't handle those kind of things. Just like anything else, like The Catcher in the Rye, I know was trending for some reason the other day. I kind of laughed. I was afraid that somebody did another assassination. You know, it wasn't the book's fault that all those things were associated with it, and, you know, ends up people are killing people because of it. But yeah, people will go and try to turn things around anyway. And again, going back to what we were talking about with Virginia and Richmond, is that's the dangerous situation. One of those people could have decided to go and take it too far and go and start firing. And luckily, I think the best thing about it was there was not a lot of counter-protesters there. Thank goodness. I don't want something bad to happen.
Nope.
On the other side, I don't know. And that's the scary thing about it. I even wrote a tweet this in the morning saying I could have got up there in about 2 hours. I was not about to go into.
No, I tweeted this tape, stay away. You know, let them have their little exercise. Stay at home. You know, it's not even worth it. It's not worth the potential escalation, because all it would take is one.
Yeah, and they were out there. I mean, and they made themselves very well known on social media. It got all over the place. Alex Jones was down there freaking out, trying to rally the crowd. It's interesting. They were around the area. Peter Morley and I were up in D.C., and we saw them late last week. Checking into hotels, they stick out like sore thumbs. Because, you know, they're very proud, quote unquote, of what they're doing, especially when they're around downtown D.C. also.
Yeah.
So I think these are definitely outside agitators.
Yeah, I'm glad that it's over. I'm glad it's done.
Yeah.
I'm glad we can move forward. Red, I appreciate the time as always. Great stuff, man. Thank you.
No, thank you so much.
Good stuff. Our good friend Red T. Raccoon. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around and listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.